public issue of company. A public company can invite the public through its prospectus to contribute to the shares and debentures, right? But such invitation is prohibited in case of a private company. Transfer of shares. The transfer of shares of a public company is freely transferable. There is no restriction at all. On the stock exchange listing, I can buy and sell the shares anytime. You must have seen, the minute the share is going up, we know that it has reached its 56 week high. Let's say, for example, there is a news. Okay, now this is the limit I have earned. You can just go ahead and sell the share. You can buy, okay, the stock have gone down, let me buy and, you know, have the shares. There is no restriction that way. But that cannot be done by private company. Private company is restricted by its articles, and it has to go ahead in terms of its articles and the Companies Act. Okay, directors. Now, as said, the directors, there are, the minimum requirement of directors is 3. The minimum 7 is the shareholder and not the director. There is difference between these two. Okay, now directors are subject to retirement by rotation, and there is limit on a directorship in the company. And there is requirement also that there has to be an independent director, there has to be this director, that director. But these restrictions are not on a private company. Okay, no loans can be given to directors without approval of central government. But that is not the case of a private company. And there are minimum of 2 directors, and they need not retire. That is not required under the private company. So if you can understand that private company is governed by its articles, and it's a very limited affair. But public company is like throughout. There are a number of public. So, the accountability is huge in a public limited company. Okay. There is no limit, as I said. And directors do not need, once there is a resolution, central, they don't need any approval from a government, but they can, you know, amongst the directors, amongst the board of directors, they can decide the private company and work accordingly. Shares. Now, a public company cannot issue deferred share, and it issues only equity and preference shares. Okay, but such restrictions are not applicable on any private company. It can issue deferred shares even with disproportionate voting rights. What is important is that it adheres to the articles of association and of course the Companies Act. Now let us look at the privileges of a company, private company. Now both an entity, whether I talk of public company or a private company, both has its own advantages. First, we will discuss the privileges of a private company. What are the advantages? Okay, now because of the advantages of limited liability, privacy in business, the formation is simple. You just go ahead, draft your memorandum of association, your articles of association, register yourself as director, take your DIN, take your SIN, that is company identification number, DIN is director identification number, and you start with your business once the incorporation is done. Even if you start with your business prior to, you know, getting the certificate of incorporation, after getting the certificate of incorporation, you have a meeting, you go ahead and approve all the acts that have been done prior to, and it is taken care of. But that cannot be done under public company. Okay, now private company has popularity because you are not answerable to the central government. You don't have to always go and take approval of central government, which takes time, and the kind of governance or the kind of filing, the kind of compliances that a public company has, it's tremendous, huge amount. But that is not the case in private company because it's a private affair, right? It is not a public affair. So the only disadvantage that I see is that you can't freely transfer and the investment. Other than that, private company has huge privileges. Now let us look at corporate will. This is the most important concept of corporate will. As I have said, will means a parda, a curtain. And behind the curtain, this is a corporate will. Behind that corporate will, the directors are working. So I have explained to you what is a corporate will. Now it so happened, if you can remember, I had again and again said that, you know, under certain circumstances, the company is responsible except certain circumstances. Now these circumstances which we will discuss arises, the curtain is lifted, and people who are behind this lift, behind the working, are held personally liable. And this action, when a director becomes personally liable, this act is called doctrine of lifting of corporate will, or piercing through the corporate will. Okay, so that separate personality of a company is recognized, and it's a statutory privileges. But when a fraudulent and dishonest use is made of this legal entity, the individuals who are concerned with this fraudulent act, who take shelter behind the corporate personality, are made answerable. So court, till the time there is no fraudulent activity, court will say yes, the company has done. The minute the court looks at it, saying that no, there has been a dishonest use, it is fraudulently under the garb of the or the name of the company, or the trying to take the benefit of this corporate will, the directors are misusing this corporate will, the court will go ahead and break through this will and leave the will. When this lifting of will is used, this is called doctrine of lifting of or piercing the corporate will. Now, as I said, that the court will look behind the corporate entity and take action against these members who are controlling or who are responsible for any such obligations or any such act. The corporate will is lifted only when there is evasion of tax or a fraudulent activity is done. For example, if let's say there are Benami companies where the company is only for the namesake, but regulate the money, there is another subsidiary which is created. So in such circumstances, the lift will be the wheel would be lifted. Okay, now statutory recognition was given in 2013. Okay, so section 77 deals with the punishment for incorporation of company by furnishing false information. Section 251 subsection 1 deals with liability for making fraudulent application for removal of name of the company from the registrar of companies, and 339 deals with liability for fraudulent conduct of business during the course of winding up. So lifting of corporate will under judicial interpretations. Now normally courts do not, as a rule, the court will identify the company as a company, and court do not go ahead and lift the corporate will in all the cases. If it is actually on face of it you are able to show that there is a fraud, or that the company is just for existence and it's not really for legal business, it is at that time, or maybe check bouncing cases where directors are held liable for these cases. Otherwise the will is generally, as a general rule, it will not be lifted. Just remember this. Okay, now in small scale industries. Now where there are small scale industries, they are giving certain exemptions, and the company owning these industries is controlled by certain groups. It was held by the court that it was permissible to lift the veil of the company to see whether it was the subsidiary of another company and therefore not entitled to proposed exemption. So where exemptions are required, it will definitely try to see as to who exactly is wanting and who's trying to take the benefit. Now if criminal activities, as I said, illegal activities are done, then in that case, the corporate veil is lifted. Now, let us look at the applicability of Companies Act and the key concepts. The applicability, the Section 1 of the Companies Act deals with the applicability, and it extends to whole of India, and the provisions of the Act shall apply to companies incorporated under this Act or any previous company law, that is 1956, insurance company, banking companies, companies engaged in generation or supply of electricity, any other company governed by any special act for the timing in force, and such body corporate incorporated by any act for the time being in force to which 2013 is not applicable are the unincorporated companies. Now, unincorporated companies, please remember, will never be taken into consideration as Companies Act. No benefits of Companies Act will be applicable, neither any liabilities would be applicable. Now, by virtue of Section 464 of the Companies Act 2013, read with the Rule 10 of the Companies Miscellaneous Rules 2014, no association of or partnership consisting of more than 50% shall be formed for the purpose of carrying on any business that has for its object the acquisition of gain by association of partnership or individual members thereof, unless it is registered as a company under the Act or is formed under any law. The maximum number of persons which may be prescribed under this section shall not exceed 100. This Section 464 will not apply in case of a Hindu undivided family carrying on any business, whatever the name of maybe the number of the members. In case of association or partnership, if it is formed by professionals who are governed by special acts. The Companies Act 2013 has introduced several new concepts. Now, let us look at these several new concepts and it will be discussed in brief. Companies. One person company, as I said, one person company was or popularly named as OPC, was first formed, mentioned in the Companies Act 2013. Now, private limited company. The 2013 Act has introduced a change in the definition of the private company in terms of the new requirement has been increased from members from 50 to 200. Small company. Now, a small company has been defined as a company other than a public company whose paid up capital does not exceed 50 lakh rupees and which shall not be more than 10 crores rupees. So, 50 to 10 crores, the capital B, it's a small company. The turnover of which, as per profit and loss account for immediately preceding financial year, does not exceed 2 crore or such higher amount. And this and does not exceed 100 crore rupees. Now, provided that this clause shall not be applicable to a holding company or a subsidiary company, a company that is registered under the Section 8. Section 8 companies are the old Section 25 companies, which are for corporate social responsibility or NGO, something like that. Okay, and a company which is governed by any special act. Dormant company. A company formed under and registered under 2013 for a future project or to hold an asset or intellectual property and has no significant accounting transaction such a, and is inactive in terms of working may make an application to the registrar for obtaining the status of a dormant company. This is a new concept which is under Section 255. Nidhi company, very important. This is a new concept again under 2013. Nidhi company means a company which has been incorporated as a nidhi with an object of cultivating the habit of thrift and savings amongst its members. Now, these nidhi companies receive deposits from the members and lends to its members only for mutual benefit and which complies with such rules as are prescribed by the central government. Now, roles and responsibilities. Who are responsible for the company? Officer. Officer will include any director, manager, or key managerial person or any person in accordance with whose directions or instructions of the board of directors, any one or more person is accustomed to the act. So any person who is permitted by the company either by resolution or under articles of association would be the officer, key managerial person. The term key managerial person has been defined in the act this time. Who are they? It will mean and include the chief executive officer, that is the CEO, or the managing director, the company secretary, the full-time director, the chief financial officer, or any such officer, not more than one level below the directors, who is in whole-time employment, designated as key managerial person, and such officer as may be prescribed under section 251. Okay. Now, the roles and liabilities, the responsibilities have been defined at the various places. Promoter. The term promoter means a person who has been named as such in the prospectus as promoter or who has been identified as promoter in the annual return filed by the company or who has control over the affairs of the company, whether it is directly or indirectly, and it can be the shareholder, director or otherwise, or in accordance with whose advice or directions or instructions the board of directors of the company act. Okay. Now, provided nothing in this clause shall apply to a person who is acting merely in a professional capacity. So, for example, the legal advisor or the company secretary, they will not come under that. Independent director, very important. The term independent director has been defined in the act along with several new requirements. So, independent director is not something new now mentioned, but there is a new additions. There are certain additions which have been made. Audit and auditors. There is mandatory auditor rotation and joint auditors, okay, which has been made in the and there are specified time period given. Secretarial auditor. This act mandates secretarial auditor for the following listed companies: every public company having a paid up share capital of 50 crores or more, every public company having turnover of 250 crores or more, every company having outstanding loans or borrowings from companies or financial institutions of 100 crore or more. The secretarial auditor is required to be annexed to the board report as per section 204. The secretarial standards are to be observed and these secretarial standards are given by the Institute of Company Secretaries. Okay. Corporate social responsibility, very, very important. The act has introduced the culture of corporate social responsibility so that the company does not just take profit but also is responsible for the social affairs. They take up social responsibilities, and there are certain you have to take out certain expenditures, minimum expenditure, which in your audit it will be shown, and you also certainly get certain benefits. Class action suits. Now this act introduces concept of class action suit, which can be initiated by shareholders against company and the auditors. So let us look at the formation and incorporation of companies. Section 3.1 states that a company may be formed for any lawful purpose. Please remember that lawful purpose of formation of company is very important. 7 or more person where the company is formed for the public, 2 or more where it is private, 1 person where it is 1 person company, that is to say a person private company by subscribing their names or his name to a memorandum and complying with the requirements of the Companies Act in respect of registration. A company may be formed by either a company limited by shares, limited by guarantee, or unlimited company. Section 7.1 of the Act provides the detailed procedure of incorporation. Okay. Now, very important for the details of types of company and formations, you may please refer to paper 3 of the module, that is setting up business entities and closure. There you have all the details of incorporation of company. Now, what are the amendments in the Companies Act 2013? The Companies Act amendments so far, the total amendment that have happened is the Companies Act 1956, which has been repealed by Companies Act 2013. After the Companies Act 2013, various amendments have been made. in continuance with the 2013. So it's not that the entire act has been repealed, but as per the requirement and the changing times, bits in bits and pieces, some of the other sections have been amended, which have been amended by the Act of 2017, 15, Ordinance of 18, Act of 19, 20. There were two such amendments. Now let us look at the companies as the comparisons. You know, what are the main changes? We have looked at the definition part. Now let us look at what are the important points that the 2013 Act has brought in comparison to the 1956. Concept of women directors, corporate social responsibility, key managerial persons, class action suits, entrenchment clause in the articles of associations. These are some new concepts which have been introduced in the 2013 Companies Act. Apart from that, also one person company, small company, associate company, these have been defined. So see, let us understand one thing. In practical applicability, these were in existence, but the Companies Act 2013 has given a defined shape to it. Concept of dormant company. Now, what is the necessity of this? Because in such circumstances, legislation is better able to legislate such companies. There are norms, there are rules, regulations given to regulate such companies. Provision of visual mechanism has been added. The term promoter has been there in the earlier act in terms of the explanation, but this act has defined it. The act has also defined fraud, and 13 has undergone, as we have mentioned in the earlier slide, various amendments by 15, 17, 99, Amendment Act of 20. Now, in the recent days, the Ministry of Corporate Affairs have made number of amendments in Companies Act 2013, the LLP Act and their rules. Okay, now let us look at what are the amendments. The MCA has issued notification to notify the company's accounts, Third Amendment Rules 2022, which has come in force from 31st May 2022. Now they have also issued, the MCA has also issued a general circular to provide relaxation in paying additional fees in case of delay in filing the all event based e-forms by LLPs. MCA has also issued general circular to provide relaxation in paying additional fees in case there is a delay in filing the Form 11, which is for filing the annual returns by the LLPs. The MCA has also issued notification to notify the company's compromises, arrangements and amalgamation amendment rules. Now these rules, you have to read these rules when there are any compromises, arrangement or amalgamation to be done. And these rules have come in force from 30th May 2022. There is another clarification with respect to microfinance and microcredit companies, which has been issued by the MCA in terms of the object clause of the MOA of Section 8 of the companies. Okay. MCA has also issued a notification to notify the company's appointment and qualification of directors amendment rules 2022. And that has come in effect from 1st June 2022. The MCA has notified company's appointment and qualification of directors, second amendment, rule 22. This further amends the company's appointment and qualification of director rules, which has come in force from 10th June 2022. MCA has notified the company's removal of names of companies from registrar of companies amendment rules, which has come in effect from 9th June 2022. The MCA has notified the National Financial Reporting Authority amendment rules. It has come into effect in force from 17 June 2022. Now, what are the significant amendments which have been made by the Amendment Act 2020? The Act of 2020 decriminalizes offenses. It has there is definition of listed companies. Issue of securities of public company for the listing in foreign jurisdictions have been defined. Reduction in timeline for rights issues. There is a producer company has been inserted. Lesser penalty for startup company, small company and producer company, OPC company has been introduced. Now the objective behind this is for better regulation and to give a boost to these startup companies and small business entities. It has added Section 10A, which requires the company to have a share capital to make certain declarations. It has reduced the burden of NCLT by transferring the approvals from NCLT to the central government. For example, if there is conversion of public company to private or changing the financial year of a company. For these things, you can go to the central government instead of NCLT. It has also substituted liable to penalty in place of fine in several provisions, which eases the mounting work pressure on the NCLT. In these circumstances, the ROC and the RD can now impose penalties by issuing show cause notices in place instead of, you know, going through the NCLT. Now, what are the highlights of the ordinance of 2018? It has recategorized offenses which are in category of compoundable offenses to an in-house adjudication framework. Okay, but no changes have been made in respect of non-compoundable offenses. Now, what is compoundable and non-compoundable? I will just quickly say, compoundable offenses are where you can go ahead and settle these offenses. Okay, non-compoundable offenses are something which cannot be settled in any given circumstances. The ordinance has ensured that compliance of default and prescribing. It has prescribed stiffer penalties in case of repeated defaults, declogging the NCLT. As we have seen in the earlier slide, a lot of issues which first had to go before NCLT have been transferred to the regional director. This has enlarged the jurisdiction of the regional director in terms of the pecuniary limits also, which can and now under the RD. Can go ahead, the regional director short form is RD, they can go ahead and compound offenses under section 441 of the Act. Now, it has also vested the power on the central government to approve the alteration of the financial year and the power to approve cases of conversion of public into private companies. The other corporate governance related reforms have been included, which include reintroduction of declaration of commencement of business provision. It has brought in greater accountability with respect to filing documents with regards to its creation, modification and satisfaction of charges, non-maintenance of registered office to deregistration process, holding of directorship, etc. Now, what are the significant changes made by the 2017 amendment? There is revision in concept of KMP. In further slides, I will introduce what is KMP. For defining associate company holding and subsidiary company relationships, the word total share capital has was substituted by total voting power. Section 3A was inserted, which this section relates to liability of continuing members in case of reduction in number of the members of statutory requirements. For example, where there is requirement of 7 and there is decrease in the number from 7, what would be the liability? Who takes care of the liability? It would be on the continuing member. Private placement has been substituted using the term identified persons. Amendment has been brought in regards to issues of shares at discount that has been inserted, where a company may issue shares at a discount to its creditor when its debt is converted into shares. So what happens is that let's say there is a certain amount of debt which I may not be able to pay. So what I do is I issue shares in those respect, which brings in restructuring of the debt. But this has to be done as per the directions of the RBI. There is amendment in introducing the concept of significant beneficial ownership. You have to make a declaration in the manner as has been prescribed to add. And now this has been brought to add transparency as much as possible. The matters which were required to be transacted by means of postal ballot now may be transacted by way of e-voting, which has eased a lot of there was requirement of physical, or you had to go and post your vote. You can now do e-voting. CSR committee, which was required to have independent director, shall have two or more directors in its CSR committee. For common seal has been made optional. No company shall declare dividend without settling of carried over previous year or losses and depreciation. Okay. So that has been brought into picture. If there is a fraud, Okay, reporting of these frauds by auditor to the central government has been made mandatory in case the amount exceeds the prescribed limit, which presently is 1 crore or more. Now, because of this, it brings in accountability on the auditor as well, right? The principle of materiality has been introduced by specifying the amount, and frauds involving lower amount will be intimated by the to the audit committee wherever company is required to have one. Now, the major development having a bearing on the Companies Act, okay? The insolvency, the IBC code, which was which became operational in November 2016. So just to give a brief background, the insolvency and bankruptcy court has brought in the bankruptcy law. Earlier we had the winding up used to happen under the Companies Act for the companies and for individual under the Insolvency Act. So now both the company and individual bankruptcy will come under the Insolvency and Bankruptcy Court, which is the entire framework. In a single law, it covers the entire bankruptcy and insolvency, whether of an individual or a company. Okay. Now section 300, 304 and 323 in the Companies Act used to deal with the bankruptcy, the winding up, which has been now omitted and has been added in the IBC code. Okay, IBC, please remember, is very, very important, right? Now, national, because of the IBC, National Company Law Tribunal and National Company Law Appellate Tribunal have become operational, and the powers which were earlier with the company law board has come to the so in the earlier act there was company law board, in the new act there is NCLT and NCLAT. The appeal from the NCLT, that is the company law tribunal, goes to the appellate tribunal of the company law, that is NCLAT. We call it NCLT and NCLAT. Serious Fraud Investigation Office has been given statutory recognition through section 211. Now they have been vested with requisite legal authority to conduct investigation, thereby bringing a lot of transparency and the attempts, if you see the entire structure here, a lot of attempt the legislation has made to try and effectively reduce the fraudulent activity, the illegal activity that goes on, and try to bring a lot of accountability and transparency. Now, secretarial standards have been statutorily recognized. Okay, the SS1 and SS2 have become effective from 1st October 2017. Now, the Finance Act 2017 also amended the Section 102, which related to political contribution and abolished limit on the political contribution of the company. If you must have seen in the recent election that happened, the political contribution was one of the huge controversies that was being discussed. Constitution of National Financial Reporting Authority was made and has been notified as effective from 1st October 2018. Now this NFRA has been given a lot of powers in issuing authoritative pronouncement and also in regulating the audit profession. Other than that, online compliance monitoring and e-adjudication has been launched. These are all in sync with the ease of doing business. Now we have, we technologically, there has been a huge leap and bound that we are using, whether in terms of meeting or signing the agreement, etc. So government has made attempt to try and use the technology to its benefit as much as possible. There is a test for independent directors. So according to the company's creation and maintenance of data bank of independent director rule, independent directors must qualify online proficiency self-attestment test, which is conducted by the Institute of Corporate Affairs. Okay, and this rule has been brought in effect from the 1st December 2019. There has been amendment in Schedule 7 of the Act. Now, measures have been taken in light of COVID-19 and the lockdown. So the measures are in terms of extending the timeline, giving certain exemptions in terms of AGM and the extraordinary meetings, and introduction of video conferencing and the audio visual means have been allowed. Okay, so please remember, and it's very important to note here that these were the temporary measures to deal with problems which were created by pandemic. Now you may, one may say that, you know, the pandemic was in 2020 and 21, but please remember that when you are working, there are certain things which have been used in past becomes very important. That's why we need to know this. Now the 2011 major and far-reaching amendments which were introduced in the new bill, okay, the e-governance, a new type of company, that is one person company, small company was introduced, corporate social responsibility was introduced, accountability was increased by you know, bringing in the independent independence in bringing the board functioning, and a lot of you know, attempts have been made to protect the interest of minority shareholders. There has been introduction of provisions to avoid whistleblowing. So there is a, and how that has been done is, it has been done by bringing in the vigil mechanism. A lot of encouragement has been given to ethical corporate behavior, where, you know, a lot of reward systems have been brought in for integrity, for providing vital information for the management, etc. It empowers the central government to make decisions on vital issues, and it introduced new disclosure norms for CSR policy, for development of it and implementation. There has been introduction in, of provisions to facilitate the companies to secure capital more freely, foreign exchange, which allows the companies to issue shares with differential voting rights. Provisions have been introduced to improve the quality of auditing of the company. Provisions of NFRA was introduced to consider the international financial reporting standards and other internationally accepted accounting principles. So cost audit has also been made compulsory for companies which are engaged in goods and services. Provision with regards to conduct of secretarial audit has been brought in picture by the company secretary, and these are required by a certain class of companies. Provision regarding revision of rules regarding the managerial remuneration, facilitating mergers and acquisitions, protection of minority shareholders, investment protection, you know, the serious fraud investigation officer, all these have been, again, making a women director compulsory on the board. Not all, but certain class of companies have been made compulsory. Company formation. Promotion of company. The person or persons who undertake the responsibility to bring the company into existence is called promoter. Now, the promoter's work, what it involves? It involves discovery of specific business opportunities and subsequent organization of the factors of production. The steps which are taken to persuade a number of common, you know, a number of persons to come together, achieve, all this is called a promotion. Now, this promotion may be undertaken either by starting a new business for expanding the existing concern or forming a holding company for a merger. But please remember, whatever the purpose be, a thorough investigation should be necessary before any steps are taken for promotion. Now, what are the steps in company promotion? The work of a promotion of a company involves four stages. There is discovery of idea and preliminary investigation, which we call due diligence. There is detailed investigation, the assembling, and then the financing of the promotion. Now,